And on a Wednesday at this time, we normally welcome Richard Freeman. That's no difference this morning, but also along with him, a special guest, and we obviously are owned by Tabcorp, the CEO and Managing Director of Tabcorp, David Attenborough. Morning to you, David.
Good morning, Andrew.
Thanks very much for joining us. Good morning, Richard. Back in the BSB studio that you were in this morning.
Yes, thoroughly enjoyed that. There was an hour of fun and frivolity with Slats and TK and brought back a lot of good memories.
Good stuff. David, plenty of ground that we can cover. Before I let Richard cut loose and he'll ask questions that you probably
don't expect.
He is the
boss, you know. I don't know how cut loose I can be.
No, you've got to be. You've got to be. Come on, Richard. You've got to go above that. There's so much negative talk, David, when we talk about wagering and the impact the corporates are having and things like that. But certainly the turnover that the Tabcorp produces still puts back into the racing industry a staggering amount of money that we're seeing prize money levels in New South Wales at an all-time high at the moment. There's a lot of still positive things out there regarding thoroughbred and harness and greyhound racing.
Andrew, the money we've put back last year of $735 million into racing as Tabcorp is at an all-time high. And really, when we look at the problems facing the industry, it's really looking ahead. There is a really world-class, best-in-the-world, in my view, Australian racing industry. And it is there because it's well-funded. The model has worked. Prize money is at an all-time high. And you don't want to see it broken. So the conversations we're having are about highlighting, let's not break the model that's underpinning racing.
You certainly spoke recently about the offshore wager at the moment that's absolutely putting nothing back into our codes here.
Yeah, so we've highlighted that betting by Australians with offshore operators, and we sort of talked about a number of about 14% of the wagering turnover is flowing offshore to unlicensed operators, is really bad for, one, the local industry because they don't get paid. It's bad for government because there's no tax. It's bad for the customer because there's no protections around their personal data, around their financial data. And there's no comeback on the operator that we can enforce if they don't pay up to the customer. So we just feel that needs to be dealt with.
Just, David, one question I get asked all the time, and I can never come up with an answer that satisfies anybody. The TAB, with its parimutuel betting system, where we all bet into a pool, we all understand the system. Why can a corporate bookmaker take the TAB's price that the TAB creates through having outlets in pubs, outlets in shop fronts, outlets on computer screens, on your phone, where everybody's money is aggregated, and we create that price as an organisation. And then it is just used by other organisations to our detriment because they can offer best tote and pick and choose, cherry pick which tote they pay out on, which is very attractive to the punting customer. How can they just do that? Surely we have some proprietary ownership over that price. And I can never answer the question when people say, why haven't you got that copyrighted? Why can they just do that?
Well, the first thing is legally, if there was a way we could stop them, we would have. It is obviously bad for the funding of racing because the dividend price includes payments to racing, payments to government in taxation.
So that's all factored into the price, the tote price that they're offering best tote of.
Yeah. So when they offer best tote, they have the additional margin they can add on to it, because they're not funding racing to the sort of 8% that is funded from the parimutuel side, and their taxation levels are far lower. The only way we can see that this might be corrected over time is either if there was legislation, which I think is unlikely, or if we see the race field model that we've seen introduced in Queensland take root, where for the first time we've seen a separate race field charge for tote derivative betting, which is higher than the fixed odds charge.
To level out the playing field.
If that develops as a system, you could see maybe racing charging a race field charge on tote derivative betting that allows them to achieve a similar return that they get from Parimutuel, and then that would level the playing field.
Okay. You don't feel the governments are going to step in, David?
I think it's difficult. Governments primarily legislation state-based, and therefore you get differences of approach and differences in focus. There are major issues facing government around, sort of far bigger issues around how they fund their hospitals and their schools and actually manage their state finances. And then federally, the federal government is not really focused on managing gambling. It is a state-based regime.
Which leads me to the next question that I constantly get asked and can't really answer is Tabcorp. They own the tote in both Victoria and New South Wales. Why do we have separate totes? Why haven't we been able to join them as one tote?
And we come back to the simple statement of best tote and tote derivatives. When you are offering best tote across multiple totes, the returns the corporates get are far lower because obviously there's more dividends that move and the likelihood is the margin they're getting out is quite a bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
If we created one tote nationally at this time, it would create a much bigger, fatter target for them to offer tote derivatives on, and they could simply then say tote dividend plus 10.
So the punter, in a way, the tote punter, is being penalised by the fact that the playing field is not level.
Correct.
And really, that it's been an evolving one, hasn't it, David? I think at some stage, probably in the last 5 years or 5 years ago, Tabcorp was seriously looking at having one pool. Would I be reading that right?
Yeah, and there's still, if we talk about an ambition, a vision for this country, it would be to create one pool. I don't think that we've lost that vision. And if we could find a way of levelling the playing field, the obvious best answer is to have one pool. It gives the maximum liquidity. It allows the customer to get the full benefits of that and provides consistency over the whole country for all customers, regardless of state.
David, the corporate bookmaker that you mention, and we see advertisements all the time flooding all sorts of different sports. The young people, do you feel Tabcorp have done enough to attract or compete with the corporate bookmakers in regard to the young people that are betting on all sorts of different sports along with racing?
Well, we've been doing an awful lot over the last couple of years to raise our game. If I don't think we will ever say that we've done enough. I don't think any company can ever do enough to focus on the customer.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. I think the apps and the offers we now have out there are pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you haven't tried the Tab app or the Tab offering, I would encourage people to go out there and try it. Because it is first class now. Certainly, we are looking at, over this coming carnival period, you'll see a lot more direct offers out there, much more focused marketing to the individual. We're seeing a good increase in the acquisition of customers of all ages, and certainly well up on last year, new customers. So it seems to be resonating, the strategies we're employing.
David, a lot of people say, you know, that the Tab is under attack by the corporate bookmakers. Why don't they just become a corporate bookmaker? Why don't they just abandon the model they have and become like all the others? Would that be, it certainly wouldn't be better for racing, but would it be better for the business of the Tab? And I once again, it's not a question I can answer.
No, I mean, the Tab is effectively a very efficient funding mechanism for racing.
Indeed.
And there is no way that it would be in the interests of racing or the states for the Tab to move into the corporate model.
Mm.
We do have the Luxbet brand that we use as a challenging brand out in the Northern Territory. And that is very much aimed at really keeping that market honest.
Mm.
It has, I would suggest, the lowest margins of all the corporate bookmakers. And stays aggressively pushing the envelope out there.
Do you think there's been when the corporate bookmaker market, which is, you know, the main competitor now to to Tabcorp and the Paramutual, when it was allowed to flourish, was there enough thought put into how this would affect not only the gambling market, but those products on which they bet, racing, football, all those other those sports?
I think the breakdown of advertising in 2008 and the restrictions on advertising what made it very difficult for state-based regulation to deal with online bookmakers. And I think the fact that you've got federally legislation of online bookmaking, essentially under the IGA, the Interactive Gambling Act, which is outside of the state's control, makes it very difficult for them to deal with this form of gambling.
Do the, does the federal government enforce the regulations?
The licensed bookmakers in Australia are definitely complying with their regulations. And you would expect that. They are large operators, licensed overseas. And we've seen recently some fairly interesting articles around William Hill and some of their operations overseas. And certainly they operate a very compliant operation.
What about the Cowboys? What about the offshore operators that you want stamped out of the game? Are the government doing, the federal government, doing anything about that?
I think there's an appetite to. It takes time. You've also got a fairly difficult road in getting legislation changed. I think we've seen that with any legislation change going through the Senate is a difficult sort of process. So we'd like to see offshore operators dealt with. I think there's an appetite federally and state-based to do that. And certainly over time, I expect that they'll bring in the right legislation.
The relationship with the racing industry, it can be a tricky one for both to negotiate because TAB has shareholders whom are important to TAB and racing has stakeholders who are important to them. And their agendas, their ambitions aren't always aligned. Is it getting better or worse?
It's getting better in many respects. So if I look back, I joined Tabcorp almost 5 years ago. We certainly with our racing partners in New South Wales and Victoria, we have our differences and we have vigorous meetings every month on those differences, but we are aligned in the things that matter and we drive a focus on the customer, and we're doing more and more together to do that. So in Victoria, working with them on their new digitalracing.com, working with New South Wales Racing around the championships, and really working on how we can present a better product to the customer. We are very aligned on that.
Particular focus on racing, a lot of myths out there. A lot of people in racing will say, oh, TAB don't care about racing anymore. They only care about football betting and things like that. Can you just give us an insight as to where, I understand that, that there's a temptation here to tell the racing industry perhaps what they want to hear on the radio, but where do they really sit in the scheme?
Well, in simple terms, 80% plus of our TAB business in wagering is done on racing, not sport.
Has that been falling rapidly or has it been holding the line?
There's a slight fall, but it's definitely not falling rapidly. Remember, you've got a very big racing business. The bulk of the fall is actually not to sport, but to the corporates with this migration from the Paramutual going to the tote derivative product.
Okay, and just on that, the impact that tab.com.au has had with fixed odds, has that impacted on Paramutual, and is that something that needs to be looked at? I mean, David, spell out, does more money go to the industry through Paramutual rather than fixed odds?
So the way that we've set up the fixed odds in New South Wales is that the racing industry, as long as we manage the yields to the right levels, is no worse off. It is vital that we present to the customer the full range of products. You cannot present to the customer one set of products and have your competitors offering them the full basket,
because they'll just migrate.
Correct. So recognizing that, racing have embraced it, as have we. We're doing about 4 billion turnover on fixed odds We are the largest fixed odds bookmaker by far. And it's important for racing that we keep getting it right because it helps underpin their funding. So we allow the customer to choose. You have to do that. And you have to make sure you're offering all the product.
Just we're sort of drawing towards the end of this, and this is a very big question, but you must have thought of this many, many times, you know, in sitting back in your chair at home. What should racing in Australia look like? What are our major challenges? Where, if you were given the reins of the racing industry, the gambling industry, and could change any legislation you wanted to in a period of 12 months, what would racing look like?
I think we all, we were chatting before this interview, we're basically a national racing industry eventually, a national tote with a consistent playing field is really what racing should be striving for. And that's certainly the end vision I'd like to see.
Racing often cannibalizes itself. It's often its own worst enemy. It's all everyone's pulling in different directions, so nothing moves. Who are our competitors? Who is the major competitor to the gambling dollar that we have to keep our eye on? Is it another sport? Is it another method of betting? Is it another gambling enterprise altogether?
So I see sports and racing as complementary. Many customers enjoy both. And certainly I think that sports betting in Australia has kept racing healthy because it's allowed a lot of new customers to come into betting and enjoy racing on the back of initially betting on sport. Our competitors are any form of entertainment. So when you're looking out there, people have a certain discretionary spend and they can choose to spend it on what they enjoy doing. Yeah. And
having a bet at the races, going to a football match.
Correct. It's all about entertainment, and we must never forget that the customer has choice.
Will racing become a TV only sport?
I don't believe so. I mean, if you ever get to a track and you have a chance to be right on the edge of the track and the horses are thundering by, it's an experience that is unique. And I don't think that there will ever be in Australia a time where there won't be a proportion of the population who want to enjoy that.
David, there's plenty of feedback coming through to my Twitter page just regarding the interview, that we're asking soft questions and all that. But there are a lot of people out there that don't know these facts. But one question is from a Twitter follower is, and I don't know whether this is a silly question or not, but can TAB offer top fluck?
We can't offer in the TAB in New South Wales or Victoria tote derivative products.
Would you if you could?
The problem with doing that would be that, remember, we still have to pay racing and the taxation levels. Mm. So the actual margin that's falling out the bottom, especially if you add then the commissions to retail, are tiny. Mm. So the ability to offer the stretches of the corporates just isn't there. So we can never match the corporate tote derivatives products unless we weren't paying racing and the government the taxation levels. And then you've got a model that's flawed.
Do you think governments understand the problem?
I certainly think that the states are getting it. They recognise the issue. And that's why you're seeing various racing industries grapple with their race field model and how they can build something that will help them fund racing despite this. The problem with any race field model is you force the price of the product up, and if you've got offshore bookmakers or bookmakers that have a choice of driving different products, you potentially drive people away from your product, and you potentially drive them offshore where they can get better deals.
We know that Tabcorp, and this will be the final one because I have to broadcast a race, David, in about 1.5 minutes, but the visual picture, there's been discussion now regarding TVN and Channel 7 that they may be looking at something. Obviously, Tabcorp own the Sky picture, but as an overview of Tabcorp, is it more vision the better that it's out there and people see racing?
Yeah, certainly from our view, it's important that Sky shows across the retail network all racing. And I think that, and certainly I believe racing agrees with that. There is a need to manage the cost of that to the venues. You know, the venues are under pressure. The last thing we can afford to do is pay more for vision and pass that on to the venues.
Yep.
That is not something we're prepared to do. And that has meant that these negotiations have been taking some time.
Yeah, they've been going on for a while. David, thank you for coming into our Ultimo studio and being a part of Richard's regular spot. You happy with the little gig there, Richard?
Yeah, it's great.
I think
fantastic.
Real. Give us some enthusiasm, please.
I had to get up at 5 o'clock this morning. I haven't done that in about 6 years.
Have you got to go to put makeup on now and do all that sort of stuff?
Yes, I've got to go out and fly the company flag out of French's Forest.
If you're ever in a good spot to have some negotiation, it's right now with the gentleman that's in that studio with you.
I think he's got enough to think about.
Thanks, David, for coming in and being a part of it.
Pleasure, Andrew.
Thank you, David. David Attenborough and Richard Freedman joining us there in Richard's Frankly Freedman spot.